Father, we thank you again for the night. It's a special night, Lord, of communion. And I can't help but every time we come to this, sometime during the time, think, it won't be long, for God's people will be on the other side. Then it would be determined how well we have served you in a lot of things. Rewards will be given out. Father, we know there's five crowns. We know there's elements and sense of what one's done for you here. The brightness will be seen on the other side. And yet we also know, Father, we're going to say one day, take communion on the other side with Jesus Christ heading it up. In my mind, I can see a tremendous crowd of God's children for the first time seeing Jesus sit at the table like the apostles saw on a small scale back when he's that last night on earth. And dear Father, when we stand there, you will be there and Christ will be in charge. What an amazing thing. When we see rewards passed out, I think all of us wish we'd done more, and yet some have done more, and we'll see more crowns than others, dear Father. But say it again, it's not we don't do those things to get crowns. We do those things because we love you. And our Father is such a loving, merciful, gracious God that not only does he promise if we serve him, he will reward us. And Lord, we thank you for that. So tonight we come to rehearse what's going to happen in heaven one day before long. And that day we get a glorified body. It won't have a meaning as it has now, but it will make us remember why we're there. And throughout eternity, there'll be times, I believe, that we'll assemble for such an event as this. And this cup and the juice that's there, Lord, remind us the fact that there was a time we were lost and undone. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that we could be called children of God. And your house meant something to us because, Lord, you mean something to us. And we're here tonight. Bless this service and honor your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Someone said ambitions comes from people. Visions come from God. And I believe that. Bob Jones Sr. said years ago, the chains of sin are too weak to be felt until they're too strong to be broken. There's a lot of people who have experienced that from time to time. If you will, turn to 1 Corinthians with me again as we read the event count that Paul got from the Holy Spirit and Christ, the Lord taught him. He said he received from the Lord in verse 23 of chapter 11. And he rehearses what was said over in Matthew 26 when Jesus was here. I'm going to just bring a real short thing. We've read this many times, so I'm not going to read it at this time. But I want to show three important factors. If I was going to dissect this for even a message to present, I'd divide it up like, first of all, as I read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 30, that I'd have the message that God gave the disciples, and then, amazing, that when God gave Paul the inspiration to write this to the church, he added some things that Jesus never did add. And he's still there. Why? Because he wanted us to know that once we come to this place to do this, there are some things that can take it with dishonor, or can take it, as he puts it at this time, that we would actually be unworthy or to take it, and where we are unworthy to take it, he gives us the process that we can be worthy to take it. And that's reading God's children should never stay away from communion. I don't believe you got to have it every Sunday, but I do believe this, that the Bible says off you have it. You're doing something God said for us to do. Now, first of all, the message is found in chapter 11, verse 23 through 24. What Jesus told the disciples, we know, is in verse 23 to 26. What Paul continued to tell, as for us in the church, takes the rest of that chapter. And it's not that God added to what Jesus said in the sense that Jesus forgot us something. All the disciples needed to know at that time is why he was leading them, what he was doing, they could remember this. But when after the Holy Spirit came and the church was set up, then he instigated the fact that there are some conditions about this that God puts a very important issue on. And so he talks about, I received the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Now, he's reading what happened in the scriptures in Matthew, but he's also telling us that Jesus himself taught him this. No doubt when he was over in Asia Minor for those three plus years, there's a lot of things that God taught him that was coming up in sense as far as the church was concerned that needed to know. And when you practice this, it would keep us drawn closer to him. And ladies and gentlemen, let's face it. If you and I are drawn closer to him, we're going to be drawn closer to each other. The only way you and I to get away from each other is when we get away from God. That love that draws him to him will draw us together as far as individuals are concerned. And you'll find that the emphasis is there. And he said, and when he had given thanks, he broke and took the bread. And he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, he took the cup. When he had supped it, he said, this is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink of it. Remember to me. And then he says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. And so we have the message all the way from chapter 23 to 34, as it's told by the disciples and also by Paul to continue for the church. Now, the second thing we see is the purpose. In chapter 11, verse 26, the purpose is, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the things, the Lord's death, till he shall come. What does he tell us? As many times we do this in the right atmosphere, in the right conditions, this shows that our faith is in his death. And that's what we see in the first part of chapter, verse 26. This shows also that our faith is in his resurrection and his return in verse 26, the latter part of that. So in the church, fellowship brings us strength. When we do what we do before God and do it correctly, it gives us strength. It gives us spiritual insight. It cleanses us. And by the way, to be cleansed gives us strength automatically when we get right before God. It'll make us bold. It'll make us faithful. It'll make us do a lot of things that we would not do otherwise in the flesh. We fight the flesh all the time. And all the thing God gives us these things for is that we could defeat the flesh and let the flesh defeat in us. The flesh will cause us not to obey God. The flesh will cause us not to do things God said do. On the other hand, when we defeat the flesh, it's because we learned something God has said is give us some power in sense that we could do the things that called us to do. So this is the purpose of the church. If fellowship brings us strength as we do these things that he said do. Now notice the third thing, and that's the order of the service. He said in chapter 11, verse 27 through 32, he gives the order. First of all, we know this. If we go back and see verse 24 down to get to verse 27, he said the first thing, it's a time of remembering. Verse 24, he said that this do in remembrance of me. Verse 25, he also said this do in remembrance of me of the cup. In verse 26, he said, for as often as you eat this and drink this in this cup, you do show the Lord's death. That is, you're showing that in remembrance of his death. When you're looking down at the time of his remembrance, then the second thing we find in this order is the time of his decoration. Look in verse 29 through 30. He said, for he that eateth and drinketh this. Now, he's declaring some things that happen. He that eateth and drinketh this, unworthily eateth and drinketh it to damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. A lot of people laugh at that, don't pay no mind to that. And no doubt there may be things that happen sometimes because of this very thing. And yet we forgot it or something, and God will have to show it one day in the future. Why? Because God didn't write these things just to fill a page. He didn't write these things, don't worry about it. It's not going, hey, ladies and gentlemen, these are written for a purpose. And it's written to the church. And who knows? Thank God he's a living God, but also he also keeps his word. So this is a time of decoration. And he said, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. That is, there have been some things that God just took home because they were occupying ground, and the ground was more for other things than for him himself. And he gives us a parable about occupying ground, about the fruit trees that were there. And he said, just tear them down one day. You remember that parable he gave? And he said, the owner of it said, no, let's try it one more year, and let's cut it, let's really prune it and dig around it, and if it don't produce this year, then we'll cut it down. He said in fourth that we're here to produce, not all that we want, but also to be used of God. If we don't, he sets forth the example, that's a possibility. Sometimes we might go home early. That's in God's hands. But then he talks about a time of remembrance, a time of decoration. Then he talks about a time of expectation. 31:30, so if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened to the Lord, that we may should not be condemned with the world. Isn't it amazing? The expectation to do this, like God says, keeps us clean before him so that God doesn't step into his children. By the way, he's not talking to unsaved here. He doesn't say this don't do a thing for unsaved people. This is for God's people. And he said, there's times when the heart's not clean. This gives a time to make you mindful. You may be busy. You might forget something. This is a time that you can stop and realize that when you take this like you should, God's honor and you'll be blessed and sin can be forgiven. Expectation is he gives. And then notice the examination, verse 28. He said in verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Why should he examine himself? For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, I've heard this many times in my ministry, someone say, well, that's one reason I don't take communion much, because I really don't feel like I'm worthy. Then you did automatically disobey God. So if you disobey God, that's even worse. So he tells us often do this. We need to do this. It's important to do it. We don't have to do it every Sunday. May not have to do it every time. But during a year's time, there are some that we do it four times a year here in obedience to the Lord. Now, when I look at this, and I wonder, why did the Lord give us this? We call it the Lord's Supper. It's communion. And I've told you, I'm amazed. I don't know. Do you ever get along with God sometime? You're studying something, you just stop and say, Lord, I just want to meditate on this. I just want to spend some time thinking about this. Because my mind is so warped at times, I can't grasp the spiritual things. And then it amazes me how God has always said, I go back to parables. In my mind comes the thought, I've always given you something on the earth that you could see, that you were involved in, that helped you understand spiritual things. A parable is that which is thrown on one side of a truth in an earthly matter, so you can evaluate the earthly situation, and God will give you insight about a spiritual situation which you cannot see with your own eyes. But you can see it through the manifestation of what you do. And a thought came to me the other day, being raised on a farm. I thank God. Sometimes I want to raise on a farm to help you, but I believe sometimes it does. And I was thinking about this. This is a supper. It's the Lord's Supper. What is he telling us to do? Clean up before we take it. Right? Clean up before you take it. How do you do it? He tells us how to do it. Confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin, cleanse us of all unrighteousness. He's talking to the children of God here. You know, years ago on the farm, I remember that when it comes dinner time or supper time, we didn't go out somewhere to eat. My mother cooked every meal. Some of you remember that. You say, why? Well, you didn't have the restaurants like you have today. If you had one, it's very hard to get to unless you get to it once a month, maybe two or three times a month. Well, what he said, when you get home, though, my mother have a great meal cooking. You know what she'd say? Clean up before you come to the table. That hit me the other night I was studying this. That's what the Lord said. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying, you come to my table, clean up before you come. Boy, that just hit me. I understand that. You know what I did when my mother said, clean up? Now, we didn't have running water like they have today. We run to the well and got it. That's the only thing we did. We'd go get the bucket, pull the water out of the well, and put some in a basin, and we'd clean up. Why? We knew we better clean up before you walk through the table. Mother didn't have much authority anywhere else, but in the kitchen, she had authority, folks. And we'd clean up. Well, when I look at this, this is what Jesus is telling us through Paul. Clean up before you take the supper with me. The question is tonight, are we clean enough to receive the Lord's Supper? The thing about it is, every one of us can be. 1 John 1:9. He forgives us for our sin. And one of the things about that, turn there so you can see it with your eyes. We know it by heart. But 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, he simply says, if we confess our sins, we Christians, it always amazes me, he didn't say to the world here, they have another place, you have to go to Romans 10 for that. But we confess our sins, a Christian. We confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Always amazes me that people say they never sin. Why would you have to confess you never say? John said we, he included himself, folks. I'm glad that God didn't say something about these men that put them above who we were. You know, doing well, Apostle John had to pray this prayer. You and I have to pray it. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes we may not have enough sense to know what all sins are, but I guarantee you there's sometimes just because I don't know what a sin is, or I may act in a way for a sin, don't mean I'm not guilty of it or can make an excuse for it if I stand before God. Because sin is a sin no matter how it is. And he said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I like that. He's not like you and I. God is, if we confess it, because we know it's on the blood, we confess it, he's faithful and he's just. I love that. Simply because he said, and to cleanse us from all, forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from unrighteousness. So tonight when we come here together, all we're seeing, as Jesus said, as he told the apostles, give the events of this, the program of this, and now he says, as he gives us the conditions of receiving this, be sure to clean up before you take my supper. Amen. May we pray. Father in heaven, we thank you again, Lord, for the time We thank you for the Word of God. It's our guide. The world laughs at this, tries to change it, belittle it. Lord, we exalt it because it explodes in our heart. And there is so many things that you're so beyond us that we can never grasp in these fallen bodies, frail bodies, going back to the dust. Lord, one day before long, that's where we're here to go. But thank God, the soul and spirit go to God who disperses it, according to Ecclesiastes, especially the Spirit of God. And dear Father, we come to you tonight. We come to you knowing that your word is true. Search our hearts, dear Father. And may we come to the cleansing error of God's word to take this literally, pleasing to you, not pleasing to us. We'll make an excuse and take it, Lord, but pleasing to you. Help us find the criteria and meet that criteria for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. I would encourage everyone here, as a dad, as a mother, as a child, as an individual, to search, say, Lord, help me search my heart quietly in the hour among God's people, just between me and you. And God, I'm so grateful for you, and I'm nigh present. The Holy Spirit lives in all of us, that this can be a private thing between you and me in the midst of the church. You're so amazing, God, that you can take every one of us individually as a private thing. And we can talk to you, that we have a number of people here tonight, and that's what we do at this time.